With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. The Freeman Report on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the Freeman Report. It is Wednesday, the 17th of April, 2024. And yes, the world is still in a bit of a pickle. And for the next 2 hours, I'll be talking about a lot of it with four great guests. So go make a brew, pour yourself a stiff drink if it's that time of day, wherever you are. And stay tuned with me, James Freeman, on today's News Talk TNT. Right, what's going on today then? Well, new data from the UK's Office for National Statistics shows the number of people out of work because of long-term sickness stands at 2.8 million people, an increase of 700,000 since 2021, meaning the figure is the highest it's been at any time over the past 30 years. And this is just the number of people economically inactive due to long-term sickness. It does not include those who are sick but not seeking employment. I wonder what is driving this increase in the number of people sick since 2021. Who knows? It's a mystery. In other news, 26-year-old Italian footballer Mattia Gianni died of a heart attack in a game in Italy on Sunday, followed by another player collapsing on the pitch in a different game in Italy just a few hours later. I wonder what's causing all of these heart attacks and collapses in top flight football and other elite sports around the world. What is that? Is it long COVID? Is it the after effects of COVID? The list of possibilities is endless. And I'm sure the experts would be baffled if they were allowed to investigate the reasons for the increase. In other totally unrelated news, it has been revealed that Pfizer paid front groups to push for COVID jab mandates after it was known that the jabs wouldn't stop transmission and would cause serious harms. The UK government continues to claim the jabs are safe and effective. We're ignoring calls to investigate the reasons behind a spike in excess deaths and the huge increase in the number of people out of work due to long-term sickness, both occurring after 2021. Curious. In other news, due to his persistence and dogged determination, and with the help from the public and a small group of MPs, Andrew Bridgen MP will lead a debate on the COVID-19 pandemic response and trends in excess deaths in the British House of Commons this Thursday. Those in the know say the government and main political parties will once again ignore the debate by sticking their fingers in their ears and repeating the well-worn mantra, safe and effective, safe and effective. In older news, The Guardian newspaper reported back in 2021 that the pharmaceutical industry has a hidden web of policy influence over dozens of all-party parliamentary groups in the UK. Drug companies are apparently giving groups of MPs and peers hundreds of thousands of pounds a year in hidden funding that could hand them undue influence. In even older news, the Independent newspaper revealed Big Pharma's hidden links to the NHS policy, with senior MPs saying Big Pharma uses its wealth to influence government. And in totally unrelated news, a Rishi Sunak-linked hedge fund experienced soaring pandemic profits of £109 million in the tax year ending 2022, a hedge fund that the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak co-founded, saw its profits more than double in the space of a year. Annual reports published on Companies House reveal that Thelheim Partners made £109 million in the tax year ending 2022, a £65 million increase from the previous year. The hedge fund is heavily invested in COVID jab manufacturer Moderna, which last month signed, or not last month now, but last month when this was written, signed a 10-year partnership with the UK government for a secret amount of money. And finally, in other news, British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak mysteriously failed to publish his tax returns for the tax year ending in 2022, despite promising to do so. And when he was forced to do this in February 2024, it showed that he'd made a capital gain of £1,796,202 from an investment listed as a blind management arrangement. I wonder what that investment was from. Experts say that people in the UK need to wake the fuck up, because these are just a handful of stories that inform the public about what is going on right in front of their eyes, all while the politicians repeat their mantra of safe and effective, safe and effective. Now, before we go over to our breaking news for today with our news correspondent, Gemma Cooper, I have a question for you. Would you like to see all of your favourite freedom fighters on one stage across one weekend? If the answer is yes, then listen up. The Weekend Truth Festival will feature speakers such as Katie Hopkins, Kate Shemarani, Dolores Cahill, Matt Letizier, Mark Atwood, David Clues, Allegedly Dave, Sovereign Pete, and many others. All of this across one weekend on the 3rd, 4th and 5th of May in Workington, near the Lake District in the UK. All you need to do is bring a tent and a sleeping bag and some good vibes, as food stalls, workshops, a bushcraft and amenities will all be provided on site. For more information on how to reserve your place at the festival, please visit weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. That's weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. I haven't spoken to Kevin in about a week or so, but there were only just over 100 tickets available when I last spoke to him. So if you do want to go, make sure you don't hang around. As always, if you want to get in touch, please email me at jamesfreeman@tntradio.live. And if you don't follow me on social media, James Freeman or TNT Radio, get over there now. Give us a follow, give us a shout out, and help spread the word about TNT. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report for today's News Talk TNT.
The latest headlines waiting for you.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right, over to our breaking news from our UK correspondent, Gemma Cooper. How are you doing, Gemma?
Yeah, not too bad at all, James. Nice editorial there. Very nice. I was listening to that with a wry smile. Interesting, as a follow-up headline to the story that we covered yesterday about the Conservative conference in Brussels that was shut down after police stormed in as Nigel Farage, the British president of the Reform Party, was giving a speech on stage. It was shut down yesterday. It's now been opened up again after a court order overturned the order by the mayor, who shut it down, saying it was a matter of public safety. Now it's back up and running. So follow up to that story there. Prime Minister's question time has kicked off over the last hour in the House of Commons, the weekly session where the Prime Minister takes questions. Rishi Sunak's taken a bit of a grilling from Keir Starmer, who's accused the Conservatives of crashing the economy. Of course, this comes on a day when inflation has dropped just a little bit, but it has actually dropped. The Rochdale MP, George Galloway, the new Rochdale MP, he also stood up and asked a question about Israel and asked how the conversation between Sunak and Benjamin Netanyahu went, and asked for restraint assurances that the Israeli government wasn't going to go too hard too fast. And that leads in very nicely to the fact that our unelected foreign secretary has touched down in Israel for talks with all the major players there, including Netanyahu. As he's since touched down, he said Israel needs to act tough as well as smart and to limit its response. That's what he's saying in public. Who knows what the conversation's really like behind closed doors. And paediatricians are calling for a ban on smacking children in England and Northern Ireland. It's already banned in Wales, as I'm sure you know, James, and in Scotland. Paediatricians are saying what seems like a harmless smack to a child when they're young can have devastating consequences later on in life, and it should be classed as what it is, assault and violence. So an interesting story there. So there's just some of the headlines doing the rounds in the UK here on TNT at the top of this hour.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the economy and Keir Starmer's accusation to the British Prime Minister that the Tories have crashed the economy. Yeah, they did do a pretty awful job on it, didn't they, with the whole, all of the printing of the money, closing down the economy. But it's pretty rich coming from Keir Starmer, because Labour, of course, were not only cheering the government on throughout the whole pandemic, but they were actually asking the government to go further. You know, all of these things that went through that allowed the government to do what they did, all the bills that were put through, the emergency laws, they were just waved through. No debate, quite often. In fact, I think there was a rule where they could put them through and then have a debate later, but they never did have those debates. So Labour, instead of doing its job as the opposition in terms of scrutinising, holding the government to account, just cheered them on. So pretty rich stuff coming from Sir Keir Starmer there. I'm also going to comment on Shed Shagger Dave. He likes a bit. He likes his shed, does Dave? I just hope the talks there go better than what they did with Trump, because you know, he went out to see Trump to try and persuade him to encourage Republicans to give $60 billion more to Ukraine. I haven't heard much written up about it in the British press since. I'm sure Trump told him to get back on his plane and go back to his shed in Wiltshire or wherever he lives. Yeah, I'm not sure the Israeli government are really going to take any notice of what Dave Cameron says. But good luck to him. He seems to be enjoying flying around the world, but I'm not sure it's getting him anywhere, Gemma.
I think it's getting him to exactly where he wants to be, which is becoming the new prime minister again at some point. I'm not new, becoming prime minister again. And I've said that I'm a bit of a scratch record with this one. But as soon as he said, I think it was last week or a few days ago, he was questioned and asked, you know, would you be prime minister again, Mr. Cameron? He said, oh, no, absolutely not. I've got no desire to do that. You know that he's lying. You know, of course he wants to be PM. He still thinks he is the PM and flying around on the world stage, telling other world leaders what to do. And the next leader of America is right up his street. So I think that's what he's using this for. I think it might not be achieving anything politically. Who knows? Who knows what they talk about when the cameras aren't rolling? Who knows what they're really saying to each other about what's going on? You know, this is the thing. Whose vested interests are really being protected on these visits? We see the spin. We see the image. We see the statements. Is it the truth? I very much doubt it.
I did, and I was a bit sneaky there. I did bring that up because I did listen into Rick's show and I heard you say that. What odds are you offering on that? If you're up for a bet, Gemma?
Well, this is the thing. I'm not. I did say on Rick's show on Locked and Loaded, I was going to go down the bookies, and I wouldn't. I need some advice.
No, I'll have a bet with you, because I think that is as likely as Rishi Sunak saying the vaccines are killing lots of people and nobody should have any more. I think it's as likely as that.
Well, okay. Now, I don't know much about betting this, so I don't know what odds to put on this. But I will take this bet. I will. Let's see. I'm not going to put a time scale on it, but I've got one of my spider senses with this, that Cameron will be back. He'll be back. I really do believe that as a world leader. And we'll see. We'll see, won't we?
I'll tell you why it won't be, because the Tories are going to be smashed to bits at the election. And I think what's going to happen on after that will be the Tories will move further to the right. David Cameron is, you know, come and hug a hoodie. He's all about climate change. He pushes all of the stuff which the Tory base really hate. And the Tories are going to be forced to move to the right. There's no doubt about that. Politicians such as Suella Braverman, even Nigel Farage has been, you know, there's been talk about him, and Rishi Sunak has said he'd be welcome in the party if he wanted to join. And there's been mutterings about whether he would lead the party. So I think, because of the smashing they're going to get and the admission, they're going to have to admit that the reason that has happened is because they're not conservative anymore. They don't reflect what conservative values or what Tory voters want them to do. So they will have to move to the right. And David Cameron just doesn't fit into that. First of all, as well, he would have to get elected to become prime minister, because I'm not sure that you can. Yes, OK, you could appoint an MP as prime minister. Rishi Sunak is, you know, that happened to him. He's not been elected to be prime minister within the Conservative Party. But I'm not sure Dave Cameron would get elected.
Well, I think we've seen enough of political machinations over the last few years that we know that anything can happen in politics. And I've just got one of my feelings. Now, right, I know Gemma, that doesn't really, boil down to much.
we're not going to make it complicated and take odds, but how about this? Let's say, I mean, we've got to put a timescale on it, because otherwise, when do we conclude the bet?
Well, I thought what would happen is they take a drubbing at the next election, and then they would somehow, he'd come back as leader and be all affable and say, look, you know, it's all gone a bit horribly.
So why don't we
the next couple of years?
Okay, so the election is this year. So let's say the Tories get smashed. The first thing they'll do is get rid of Rishi Sunak. So they'll have to pick another leader. So let's say within a year, if David Cameron, let's just say leader of the Conservative Party, if he's leader of the Conservative Party, I will take you out to for a Michelin star meal. There's several restaurants in Wales here, about £100 a head. And you reciprocate if he's not. How about that?
All right. The gauntlet is down. The challenge is on. There we go. I don't know about the year. I'd rather say 18 months Tory leader, but all right. We'll split
in
hairs
opposition.
Later.
If they get a new leader next year after the general election, they're not going to just change them willy nilly. They'll have time to go through a proper process to pick somebody. That leader will be in place for at least until the next general election. So I think that's irrelevant. So a year's time from now. So what next April? There you go. Right. Okay. Thank you for that, Gemma. I'm going to hold you to that. You'll be back in the next hour with some more breaking news. To the rest of you, don't go anywhere. I've got a really interesting guest next. His name is Mohammed Barakat. He is a second generation Palestinian living in Israel. So I've got loads of questions for him about day-to-day life for Palestinians living in Israel and society in general. You know, can you become a policeman? Can you go into politics? You know, I'm really interested to find out what it's actually like living as a Palestinian in Israel, because I think most people now accept that this two-state solution is never going to happen. So I think the only real way forward is a one state with equal citizenships. But are Palestinians treated equally, the ones living in Israel? So don't go anywhere if you're interested in that conversation. Stay with me, James Freeman, on TNT.
TNT's David Curtin.
I really don't think that they've thought this through, because say you get to the year, 2040, and anyone who's under 31 will not be allowed to buy cigarettes, and anyone who's over 31 will be allowed to. How is that going to be enforced? Will the shops require ID from 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds in the future to see whether they're allowed to purchase tobacco products or not? At the moment, there's no issue, as I say, but in the future, it's going to be completely ridiculous. I don't think that shops will want to do that. It will be essentially unenforceable.
David Curtin on today's News Talk, TNT.
The talk.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right, okay. Talked an awful lot about what's going on in the Middle East recently. We've talked about if it's even possible to have a two-state solution. So I'm intrigued to find out what it's actually like for Palestinians living in Israel, what day-to-day life is, what society is like for them. Can they become policemen? Can they go into politics? Because I think if this two-state solution is off the table now, if it's impossible, then the only way forward really is to have one state with equal citizenship for Palestinians and Israelis. But is that happening? To talk about all of this, I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Mohammed Barakat, who's a second generation Palestinian Israeli. Hello, Mohammed. Welcome to the Freeman Report.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for coming on the report. Mohammed, rather than me kind of ask, I've got lots of questions for you, but I guess first of all, tell us what it's like, just without me leading you down any kind of path. What is it like as a Palestinian living in Israel?
Well, in fact, I spent most of my life under occupation. You see, as Palestinians, we have been divided for several categories. So we have, some of us have been under the Israeli control, or, you know, in the state of Israel since 1948. And those are part, what we call them, the Israeli Arab citizens. This is the first category. The second is the people who were living in East Jerusalem through the war of 1967. Israel have given us different category, which they call us the permanent residents of Jerusalem, the long-term visitors of the city. Even you have been born, living all of your life, it doesn't matter. And the third category are the people who were living and still living in the West Bank, Jordan River, and in Gaza Strip. Those have been given different color, even identity. It was orange in the beginning after the war of 67. And they were also considered as the residents of the West Bank and Gaza. So this is the way that Israel have treated us. So we are not equal, neither in rights or in any types of conditions. Now, in Jerusalem, as my own category, my status gives me the right to live in Israel, to work in Israel, to drive in Israel with the same license plates as the Israelis, and the same as the first category. Those two categories having mostly several of those Israelis rights. But as myself, I'm not allowed to join for the general elections in Israel. The first category have the right because they are citizens of the state. And we are talking about 2 million of them living nowadays in Israel. So the population of Israel is over 9 million. So they are almost 20 to 21% of the population. The third category have nowadays, even after the war of 67, they were having the right to work in Israel, to live in Israel, to travel with their vehicles, with their, you know, cars to Israel without permits. But they were using their cars. They have different color license plates, which used to be blue color for the private ones and a green color license plate for the public transportation. But those license plates used to have also a code on the side of it to show from which district those people came out. So this is the division of the Palestinians under the Israeli control. Now, those people, since the beginning of the Israeli-Arab or Palestinians peace agreement, which we call it Oslo Accords Agreement, those people, if they want to come to East Jerusalem or if they want to go to Israel, they have to get a permit on them. They are not allowed to be in Jerusalem or in Israel unless they get a permit. Now, we have several types of permits. We have over 40 types of permits for all aspects of life to apply to the Israeli responsible officer, the officer of the Israeli army, to give you a permit to come to Jerusalem or to Israel. So this is our situation now. In fact, the people of the West Bank and even in East Jerusalem, we were part of what we call it the labor force in Israel. After the war of 67, Israel have enlarged the size of the state by occupying the Sinai Desert from Egypt, the West Bank of the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. That's, we were part of the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, and the Golan Heights. So it used to be a very long border between them and their neighboring countries. So they need some people to work in Israel, so they depended on us as a workforce. We had been over 250,000 of workers inside Israel. Now, since the war of October, those people who were working in Israel from the West Bank and even from Gaza Strip had been completely stopped of working in Israel. So the situation is very terrible. The people of the West Bank have no rights to come into Jerusalem nowadays or Israel. There is no way of getting in. Even most of those cities, since the second uprising, which we had it in the year 2000, Israel have planned a way to completely siege the cities of the West Bank. We have about 9 main cities in the West Bank, which is districts, governorate. Each governorate is completely separated from the other. Closed open air prisons, each city by itself. Now, those people, when they want to leave from one Palestinian city to another Palestinian city in the West Bank, they have to cross through checkpoints, where sometimes those checkpoints will be completely closed. They won't allow them to pass. So the situation is very hard nowadays.
I hadn't realized that, Mohammed, that even in the West Bank, that actually to move about in your own state, that Palestinians would have to show papers and could, like you're saying there, that actually they can be stopped from traveling around their own country, I guess.
In fact, this situation had been since the second uprising. Israel had planned it as a way to be sure that they can control, and still running on. But in several kinds of, you know, what we call it, calm situation, that they will be open. It will be easy to drive out. But in all yeah. over the West Bank, because it's completely divided for 3 zones, areas. We call them A, B, and C, according to the peace agreement, the Oslo Accords agreement. So Area C, which is, let's talk about Area A, which is the main cities, the main big cities in the West Bank. It comes to be almost 18% of the whole occupied territories in the West Bank and Gaza. And that's where most the population of the Palestinians are living, in these big cities. And it comes to be 18% of the whole occupied territories. Area B, which is the surrounding villages, towns around the main cities, had been given to the Palestinians authority to run a full civil administrative. But the security in Area B, now, as what they have been agreed on, should be run with what we call it a joint forces by Israelis and Palestinians. Nowadays, it's only the Israeli forces have the power to secure or to do the security managements in Area B. Area C, which is over, because Area B comes to be less than 22% of the whole occupied territories. So 18 and 22, which is comes less than 40% of the whole occupied territories, had been under the Palestinians' control, and the rest of it, which is over 60%, comes to be under the Israeli military control, which is Area C.
Thank you, Mohammed, for that. That really, really, I think this gives us an idea, because I've had people on this show who have talked about, it's an absolute joke, people, when they say that it is like an open air prison, because, you know, they've said, oh no, they've got beachfront houses, they've got swimming pools. What are you on about? It's like a paradise there. So really, you know, and obviously, you know, you live there. So you live there. So thank you for that explanation and that very detailed, I think, picture that we've got. I've got loads of questions for you, Mohammed. We're going to take a short break now, but don't go anywhere, because as soon as we come back, I've got lots of questions for you. So stay put where you are, Mohammed, right here on TNT.
Now,
I've got good news and bad news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Australia's unveiled a new national defence strategy with a greater focus on the Pacific as tensions rise with China. Israel's brutality against Palestinians in Gaza is once again in the spotlight after a new mass grave was uncovered at the Al-Shifa hospital. And the BBC has come under fire after one of its radio hosts flipped the script and took aim at the West for refusing to hold Israel accountable for the mounting civilian death toll.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio, or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Right, so Mohammed, I think I've got a clear idea that, you know, in the Palestinian areas in the West Bank, they are segregated. Palestinians certainly aren't free. It's very much controlled by Israel. But in Israel itself, I guess the place to start is, do Israelis and Palestinians mix socially? Are they friends? Or do you find that you've got, you know, you've got Palestinian areas and Israeli areas and they don't mix? I guess that's my first question.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you that that's very hard to get this kinds of mixing those people, because when we look at those people who are coming to settle in our areas, we call them settlers, which those are very, we call them thugs of, some of them, they are thugs, and they are not even like to see us around them, because we have three types of those settlers who are settling in the West Bank. The first type of settlers, we call them economic settlers, which usually they come to live in the big cities, which the Israeli government have built in Area C. And those are, we call them the economic, because they are always looking to save money of the, you know, the home, the housing, the taxes, everything is getting it less payments as what they are paying back in Israel. So those usually, some of them, they might do shopping from the Palestinian cities or villages around them. Just a small amount of these, you know, little percentage of them. The second type of settlers, we call them the businessmen, the investors, the ones who are using their money to make a very high profit, which they are, in fact, investing in two sectors, in what we call the commercial industrial zones, which they are, those are built just around the big settlements areas to serve the settlers themselves. And those are holding more of Palestinians workers in these, you know, commercial industrial zones. So this, those, and mainly the, we call the agriculture sector, which is in the Jordan Valley. It's important. And that's where they are making a very high profit of. Because in the Jordan Valley, they have plenty of water and the weather is helping them, the climate. It's warm, so they can plant anything and they can, the plants or whatever they are planting, it comes earlier than the season of it, where they can sell it with a very high amount of money. Now, the third types of settlers, those are the aggressive ones. Those are what we call them, the nationalist Zionist religious groups, which those are the ones who believe this is their land. They are the chosen people of God, yeah, and this is their own land. So they don't want to see us around. And those are the ones who are doing all the crimes nowadays. Just the last 2 weeks, we have a plenty of those settlers attacking the villages, burning the houses, the crops, the burning the vehicles, the cars, and killing people. It happened the last 2 weeks. Several of the Palestinians have been killed by the settlers. The attacks, they join each other. I mean, the settlers around, you know, over hundreds of them comes to a small village and attack them.
And yeah, and of course,
they are armed. They are armed people. Yeah. Mr. Ben-Gvir have armed them.
Yes, and of course, the UN in recent days has actually put out a call to the Israeli government, because it's clear that the Israeli army, the IDF, are actually supporting these settlers, which are attacking Palestinians on their own land. Mohammed, let's change topic just a little bit. How do you feel, first of all, about what happened on the 7th of October and about, you know, I mean, do you think how do you feel about those attacks and how do you feel about how Israel has reacted?
Well, as Palestinians under occupation, you have to understand that somehow, because of the pressure that had been over there in Gaza, it will come up. You know, it's a volcano. It happened because they had been completely in an open air prison for more than 17 years. And that's what, for us as Palestinians, we had been knowing that someday they're going to blow up. And that's what happened. Now, what happened that Hamas have, you know, attacked Israel, but several of those, what we call them, normal people have joined. They went after them. And those are the ones who have created the trouble, the problems over there. They've done a lot of things, but not the, you know, the what we call them, the Hamas power. I mean, you know, the fighters. So to us, it was completely, For us, it was sudden. It happened. We never believed that it's going to happen. But the reaction of the Israeli state as occupier power, it was too much. I believe that the first day when I have heard Mr. Netanyahu saying that we will have a war, so I know that it's going to be very hard for the Palestinians over there. And I was really expecting what is happening, but not as what we are seeing nowadays.
Yeah, it's truly terrible, I think, what's happened since. It's totally disproportionate.
It's much more than imagination. It's more than your imagination of how could you get rid of the others.
Yeah, absolutely. Mohammed, there's obviously for years now, for decades, in fact, politicians have continually talked about a two-state solution. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's even possible now? I mean, Gaza has been bombed, it's been flattened. Is there even a territory there to have a state on? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe the ones who have signed the first time for the two-state solutions, which is the Palestinians, which had been led by Chairman Arafat, and the Israelis, which they have their own leaders, Mr. Rabin and Shimon Peres. I believe that they have their own ideas about how to come for the two-state solutions. They have been prepared for it. And according to the plan, which had been signed that time, it should run for 5 years, the process of the agreement, the peaceful agreement. And according to that agreement, the land should be divided for three, as I told you, to three areas, where through the 5 years, part of Area C should move to Area B and part of B to A. Within the 5 years, if it had been completed as what they have designed, over 70% of the land should be Area A. What will be left for the final negotiations, which is the border with Jordan, the Jordan Valley, the settlements which had been erected in Area C, how could we move? And Mr. Rabin was insisting two big settlements blocks to take them inside, to enclave them inside Israel, and to give instead of them some land in Israel to enlarge the size of Gaza and somehow other places. So that was the deal. Now, those two settlements, which Mr. Rabin was insisting to keep, it's one in the north is called Ariel, and one in the south, which is Gosh Etzion. Those two settlements, which Mr. Rabin was insisting to keep, it's one in the north is called Ariel, and one in the south, which is Gosh Etzion. Just imagine in 1994, when we started the peace process, less than 150,000 settlers were living in the West Bank and Gaza.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the two areas, Gaza and the West Bank. So it was easy to Mr. Rabin to move those 150,000 or less back to Israel. But now, after 1994 up to today, in the West Bank only, we are talking about over 750,000 settlers living.
Yeah, so it's Mohammed, I'm really sorry to interrupt you. We have run out of time now, but I think the answer to your question, I'm reading between the lines, is it's almost impossible now to do that.
You're right.
Oh, you're very, very difficult is what you're saying. But listen, Mohammed, we have run out of time now, but please, will you come back on the show again? Because I think we could probably talk for a lot longer. So if you're happy to do that, I'll get my producer to contact you and we'll get you back on again soon so we can finish this discussion.
Why not? Okay, I'm ready.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Mohammed, for coming on the Freeman Report. We'll speak to you soon.
You're welcome. Okay, thank you, and good luck.
Thank you. Yes, definitely want to speak with Mohammed again. Really, really interesting. This is all the kind of stuff you don't really read about in the media. You just get the top line news. It really does help you to understand the situation there for Palestinians. So we're definitely going to get Mohammed back on soon. We're going to take a quick break now. And when we come back, I'm going to have freelance journalist from Washington, D.C., Corinne Clifford. And we're going to be talking all about all of the problems with illegal migrants in across the U.S., lots of them being arrested for all sorts of crimes. So we're going to be talking all about that after this short break right here on TNT.
Anticipate potential delays for the morning commute. In other news, a recent government report on prescription drug pricing points to corporate malpractice.
Freedom of the press is about your right to know.
What are you talking about, man? Look at his stats.
It's about your right to be informed. Your right to access all types of information keeps us free as a nation.
No.
Today, there are real threats to press freedom. And your right to know about the world around us.
Look.
Some threats are obvious, some are easy to miss, but they all put our way of life at risk. We must defend against all of these threats, no matter what kind of news is important to you.
Justified putting American troops in harm's way?
That's a great question.
We must protect our right to know before it's too late. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
You are loved. You are valued. You are resilient. You got this.
You are there for them. We are here for you. Find free care guides at aarp.org/careguide.
You're with James Freeman and the Freeman Report on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right. Okay. Now, we've talked a lot about U.S. Immigration, the problems with illegal migration, these sanctuary cities, all of the problems with that. But we haven't really talked much about the actual crimes that are being committed, which are growing, the number of crimes across America now. So to talk about the problem and why these people are being arrested and then just let go again. Illegals, they're not even US citizens, and yet the police are letting them go. To talk about all of that, I'm delighted to be joined by freelance journalist from, well, she's in Las Vegas at the moment, but she lives in Washington, D.C. She is Corinne Clifford. Welcome to the Freeman Report.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here. There is so much going on in the world, and I'm ready to talk about it all.
Yeah, so let's start. Just during the break there, you were saying that you're in Las Vegas at the moment for a big conference, and you're going to be interviewing someone very important. Tell us who that is.
Yeah, so I am interviewing General Flynn, General Mike Flynn, tomorrow, because he has made an autobiography about his life. He's been persecuted and prosecuted so much by the U.S. federal government, and he basically faced prison time for nothing. He's a general in our U.S. military. He's obviously had to resign, and he is now traveling across America, and he's debuting his autobiography to really explain to the world what happened to him. And so in the United States of America, he's one of our highest level freedom fighters, and he's very concerned about what's happening with President Donald Trump in New York City, because it looks to us in America, it looks to us like what's happening in New York City is pure communism, fascism. America is not the same America anymore. This has never happened in the history of our country. What's happening to President Donald Trump should not be happening at this time in history. It shouldn't be happening in the United States at all.
Are you telling us that America is no longer the land of the free?
That is correct. And we're going to try to obviously change this. I'm in Las Vegas also meeting constitutional sheriffs. There's a convention of constitutional sheriffs who actually follow the U.S. Constitution. And according to the U.S. Constitution, the sheriffs have the right in times of tyranny to say no to the federal government. And that's what's going to happen in the United States of America. The freedom movement is actually going to encourage people to be united and stop paying federal taxes and starve the federal government. And the freedom movement is going to encourage their sheriffs in their counties to actually stand up and say no to the federal government. Our U.S. federal government overreach right now is out of control, and America is in duress.
Corinne, I absolutely love the idea of a constitutional sheriff. Is it a real thing, though? Is that actual a real thing in, you know, is it an official title, or is that kind of a name for people that just watch the Constitution and try and hold politicians accountable? Is it an actual thing that?
100% yes. Yesterday, I interviewed a very, very important sheriff of 20 years from Berry County, Michigan. His name is Sheriff Darleaf, and he is facing full-on attacks, and his lawyer is getting attacked by the U.S. federal government because Sheriff Darleaf follows the Constitution, and he did expose election corruption. He will say no to the FBI. If the FBI in the United States of America wants to come into your county and arrest you, the sheriff has to agree to it. So it is a real thing. Unfortunately, many sheriffs take money from the federal government, so they kowtow. They do whatever the federal government, the FBI, tells them to do. There are brave sheriffs like Sheriff Darleaf of Berry County, Michigan, who's at this conference today, who I actually interviewed yesterday, who have the courage to say no to the federal government. And that's what's going to have to happen in the United States of America to secure our freedom again. We're on a very bad road right now where the federal government is doing what they're not supposed to be doing. We're not even really supposed to have an FBI or a CIA in the United States of America. Our Constitution is very specific. On the federal level, the U.S. A president is supposed to oversee the U.S. military, and the taxes are out of control. We have 180 government agencies that are not constitutional. So right now, the United States is being run in an unconstitutional manner. So the freedom movement in the United States is moving towards bringing America peacefully, nonviolently, back to what the actual U.S. Constitution said we should be doing to govern our country.
Fantastic. I've got images, Corinne, of gun-toting sheriff with a hat, basically running his area. That sounds absolutely fantastic. Corinne, let's talk now about immigration, illegal immigration. We know it's going on. I've talked about it loads on this show. But I'd like to talk specifically about some of the crimes that have been committed. I've got a post here from X, a US journalist. And it's about, and I've seen loads of these, it's about a Brazilian illegal. He was apprehended by Border Patrol back in 2021, then released. Later on, he was arrested for child rape in December 2023. And he's back on the streets again with a $5,000 bail. What is going on? Because, you know, when you've got non-citizens committing crimes like this, you'd think it's a no-brainer. You send them back to their country, you deport them, or you put them in prison. What's going on?
I mean, United States of America is under an invasion right now. We are getting attacked at the southern border, at all of our borders. Our New Mexico border is wide open. No one's doing anything. Arizona is wide open. The cartels are governing the Arizona border. California is wide open. The Texas governor is trying to use the National Guard, and he's trying to close the Texas border. It's not really working very well. The Florida border is open. We have an emergency in the United States of America where we're under invasion by migrants, illegal aliens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's clear. And you know, a lot of them as well. And the Biden administration is flying them in now to solve the problem at the border. Incredible solution to fly them directly into the country. But I want to talk specifically about, you know, who is coming up with these rules that people can come into the country illegal and then they can commit some pretty heinous crimes. And when they get arrested for them, they're just let back onto the streets. Because this, you know, I'm hearing about stories like this every day now from the US. What is going on? Why are the police letting them go? Why are they not being deported? Where is this coming from?
Exactly. Why is this happening? Because the police are being told by the Democratic mayors of the cities in our country to let them go. The police in the United States of America respond to the mayor. The police are governed by the mayor. Now, listen, what you said before that was very disturbing to me. You said that Biden was allowing that these migrants, these illegal aliens, to be flown into the United States of America. I want you to know this. Our airline tickets in the United States have doubled just in the last week because of that policy. So we in the United States of America are losing jobs to migrants, illegal aliens, but we're also getting inflation because of the migrants, illegal aliens. All of the prices for food, airline tickets are doubling and tripling. More than that, our crime is out of control in the cities, and the migrants, the illegal aliens, have been attacking young women especially, and many have been murdered. And the Biden, I call it the Biden regime, is actually charging this to the U.S. taxpayers. So this is why you're going to be watching like a Tea Party kind of situation. American patriots who stand up for the U.S. Constitution are going to join together and say, we're going to stop paying federal taxes. And that's going to cause a big ripple effect, because that is a felony in the United States of America. But if enough of us join together to stop paying the taxes, because we have no representation and our hard-earned taxpayer dollars are being used to fund the migrants and the illegal aliens.
How are these mayors justifying this? Because they're accountable to the public, right? They're voted in, these mayors. I'm assuming that that's the system. Tell me if I'm not correct on that, if they're appointed. But if these are democratically elected mayors, how are they justifying these rules to the public that dangerous people that shouldn't be in the country are being allowed to commit crimes like rape, like theft, like assault, and then they just get let go again and put on the streets to do it again? This is the example here. This person has been arrested more than once and then just let go again. How are these mayors justifying that to the public?
The Democratic mayors, per usual, don't have to justify it to the public. They ignore the situation. They divert the attention to something else. But what's happening is that communities are standing up, and we still have the right to bear arms in the United States of America. We still have 2A, the Second Amendment in America, where we have the right to bear arms. So you are going to see more violence happening in the United States of America, because we, the people, have the right to defend ourselves. The Democratic mayors are ignoring the issue. And the Democratic mayors, what they're really doing is they're saying to people, oh, I'm giving you food stamps. I'm giving you this kind of health care. They're giving us little tidbits to try to keep us happy. But the people are pissed off in the United States of America. So you are about to see major civil unrest, because we can't put up with the violence that's happening in our cities and in our counties because of the illegal aliens and we call them migrants.
Now, the other thing that I picked up on in the last few weeks from via guests that I've had on the show is this whole thing about in democratic states, telling people they're not allowed to call them illegal aliens anymore. They're undocumented citizens. There is a political reason for this, but this is getting out of control now, isn't it? I think there was a child I was reading that was actually banned from school. They were put out of school for calling undocumented people illegal aliens. What is going on? What do people... It's just incredible for us in the UK here looking and hearing all of this stuff going on in America.
There is an attack against our U.S. Constitution. Our First Amendment is free speech, your right to assemble, your right to free religion, your right to free press. And we are getting violated in the United States of America on that basic level. You have the right to free speech. And the child who got disciplined in North Carolina, the principal of that school needs to be fired. And the parents are going to have do that in that particular city. But, you know, I'll probably be interviewing those parents soon. That shouldn't be happening in the United States of America. You have the right to free speech here.
And Kareem, we've got a couple of minutes left. I do want to ask you this question, because, of course, Donald Trump is in court. It is a criminal case that he faces there in New York. And of course, New York, we know how biased the legal system is there. What's going to happen if Trump, for whatever reason, I don't know, they find him guilty, send him to jail? If there's a scenario where Trump cannot stand in this year's election, what do you think the consequences will be of that?
That will be unacceptable. Trump has to be able to run for president. And I don't think any of their attempts will be successful because Trump has the following of he has rock star status. Trump gets more people into a stadium than any rock star I've ever seen. And I've seen many rock stars. So Trump will be running for president. It was two consensual adults doing whatever they did in New York. President Donald Trump will be totally acquitted of all of this. Now, if New York does something to try to prevent President Donald Trump, we the people are not going to allow that to happen. So that's why, you know, they're not allowing President Trump to leave New York during this court case to go to his own son's graduation, which is one of the most disgusting things we've ever seen. Well, the way that New York is treating President Donald Trump because of the current attorney general in New York, her name is Letitia James. She is a pure communist. This shouldn't be happening in America. And we, the people, are going to have to handle this. That's what our Constitution says.
Kareem, we've run out of time now. I'm just going to comment quickly. You're right, Trump does. I mean, he can fill a stadium. I've seen pictures today of a talk, a conference where Biden, and they had to curtain it off because so few people turned up. I really do hope for America's sake that Trump does get in this year. But listen, thank you for joining me on the Freeman Report. Good luck with your interview with Flynn, General Flynn, tomorrow. And please do come back on the Freeman Report soon. Thank you very much. Kareem Clifford, ladies and gentlemen. Right, we're going to take a quick short break now, but I'll be back for the second hour of the show just in a minute. So don't go anywhere. Stay right here on TNT.